Continuing with our science theme, this Saturday for the second year in a row, Albany will be taking part in the National March for Science. With us now are Eli Sands and Jessica Reichard, two of the march's organizers. Welcome, Jessica and Eli.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on.
So, maybe you'd start with a two-part question. Where and when exactly does the March for Science start, and how did this whole March for Science thing evolve or come about?
This all started last year with when the new administration came in. There was obviously a lot.
New federal administration
came in. There was obviously a lot of anxiety about, and well-placed anxiety about, what was going to happen to science and whether or not it was going to be funded and how it was going to be perceived in the coming years. And a lot of people, not just scientists, but people like myself, I'm a landscape architect, were concerned about this. And so when the National March sort of took root as the Women's March, sort of following the lead of the Women's March, as the Washington March took root, the Albany March sort of sprung up from it. We all sort of got together via Facebook, and we met each other and organized through Facebook and slowly developed out through that. And that's kind of how it started. It was very grassroots, just messaging back and forth.
None of us had done any kind of march organization before.
What do you hope this event and the sister marches across the country will help achieve?
We really want people to come and see how important policy and science interact with each other. We're going to have politicians there to listen to our scientists and scientists to learn about the best ways to interact with politicians. For me, it's important also that people come and feel like there's a community and that they are inspired to take action themselves.
Now, one question I have had, it sort of ended up both years that the Science March comes the week before Earth Day. And actually, I'll just put a little plug in. On April 23rd this year, there's going to be this big rally in Albany for climate change. But was there any thought about the relationship between science and then, you know, Earth Week or Earth Day taking place the following week?
Absolutely. I mean, they're allies, you know, in terms of those issues. Last year, the march happening on Earth Day, you know, we're trying to schedule our march from the Albany with, you know, with the National March. So the National March is sort of dictating when we schedule. And last year, having it scheduled on Earth Day enabled us to really bring in a lot of those allies who work towards climate change science and environmental science and bring them into the fold. But I think this year we're doing it the week before, I believe. And I think that allows us to, A, sort of allow both groups to have their day, which I think both groups deserve, and also really allows us to sort of expand our scope and really look at other things that are important in science advocacy, including things like vaccinations, funding, and other things that are important to our cause.
I mean, one of the things that sort of interested me last year when I attended this was you didn't seem like you had the normal tables out there. You know, usually at these rallies, you get everybody out there and 30,000 pieces of literature about whatever other rallies. But you guys seem to have more tables that are like more, I guess, science-oriented or trying to teach people.
We're very proud of our tables, and the group that we had last year was just amazing. And we really try to make the day very family-oriented and not just about the advocacy, but we want people to get excited about science. We want kids to come and be like, oh, science is awesome. And these scientists that I'm meeting are awesome people, and they're not just people in lab coats wearing pocket protectors. So that's a big goal for us and the broader organization that we're part of, which is CAPSCI, is getting people to interact with the scientific community and meet local scientists. And so each of the tables that we have tables from the local colleges, from some of the naturalist societies in this area, like the Arboretum and the preserves, coming to talk about their programs and then also doing some hands-on science experiments with the people that come to their tables. So it's really fun, and I hope a lot of people come with their families and get to experience that.
So everybody's welcome to come, scientists, non-scientists alike, and right? Is that who you're expecting to come to the event?
Absolutely. Yeah. The real goal for us is to bridge that gap between that has sort of been created over time and is sort of, you know, perpetuated by sometimes in the media, that there's a distance between the scientific community and the general public. And we believe that our march and this event is a time to bridge that gap by bringing all these communities together and showing people that they're not alone and that science is accessible to everyone, whether or not you are within the STEM fields.
Well, you know, in terms of the Trump administration, I think most Americans who are awake understand that the Trump administration has been very antagonistic towards, you know, climate science and climate change, and it's sort of a horror what's going on at EPA. But what are some of the other science issues that have really, you know, been troublesome and prompted this type of an event?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of scientific literacy, especially with the vaccine community. I mean, not community, but issue where, you know, a report came out and it was later found that it wasn't through the correct scientific peer review process, but that's what some celebrities grabbed onto, and it's become this whole anti-vaxation movement. So that's definitely one, and we saw a lot of signs at our march last year about that were kind of humorous in a, like, I don't have polio, hooray for science kind of way. So that's definitely one, and we're excited to have a woman speak this weekend who is interested in biodiversity, and she's from Siena College, working on seed banks and food scarcity. So that's another area where, you know, science can be really used to help society.
And I think one of the other big issues is funding in general.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot, you know, a lot of what you hear from the administration, like, we're just going to put a man on Mars, you know, but ignoring all the need for lab work and all the studies that have to go into it. And I think that sort of is a little bit myopic to not understand that there's a lot more that needs to go on. And I think that's one of the issues that I think is important to us, is making sure that we are actually providing the funding to do the research to get to the goals that we need to get to.
So what motivated both of you as individuals to decide to become involved with, you know, I guess you're kind of the lead organizers of the march. What prompted you to get so involved?
For me, it was definitely the new administration taking place, seeing the Women's March and the impact that they had on people, and hearing that there was going to be a March for Science in Albany. I'm not a scientist, but I'm an engineer, and I loved science growing up, and getting people educated about the STEM fields, interested in STEM, is a passion of mine. So I think for me, it was the opportunity to have a community event in support of science that I wanted to be a part of.
Yeah, just like Jessica, I'm not a scientist either. I'm a landscape architect. But one of the things that I deal with on a daily basis is climate change and, you know, what plants can I plant and how is that affecting the coastlines for parks that we're designing on the waterfronts. And so I know one of the things that's really important to me are EPA and FEMA maps that are, you know, prepared for climate change and those eventualities. And so we can design for the future. And to have an administration that's ignoring that makes not only my job difficult, but it makes our living world a really difficult place to be in. So that really got me out into this field of advocacy.
So we have about 2 minutes left. So could you maybe, you know, run down the logistics of the rally and the march? Where do people meet? Who are some of the really exciting speakers going to be here? How do people find out more information about it? And do you need volunteers?
Sure thing. So the march starts. We're open to the public at 1 p.m. That is when our tables will be open, and we'll have over 20 tables with 40 total tables in there, including the Albany State Museum, CMOST, as well as various college groups from Siena, RPI, and SAGE. And at 2:30, our speaker presentations will start. And Jessica, do you want to talk about the speakers?
Sure. So we have three basically three scientists, Dr. Steve Lebo on climate change, Dr. Nurkan Alaki Hilicki on the food resilience, and Dr. Lisa Campo-Engelstein on, she's a bioethicist. Then we also are having Dr. Gina Gould speak. She's the new MySci president, so new to this area. It will be great to hear her talk locally to probably the first opportunity to really get out in the public. And then Dr. Ashok Ramabursarian, who's going to be our MC. Since we're in Troy, some people might recognize that name from the Front Parlor series. He's just a great speaker and storyteller, so I'm excited to have him be there. And then Neil Breslin, who's the local New York State Senator for the area, and also Paul Tonko, our congressman, is going to be there. And Paul gave a great speech last year, so we're excited he came back.
We're about out of time, so 20 seconds.
Okay, so meet at the West Capitol Lawn, 1 p.m. Speakers start at 2:30. March starts at 3:15 around the downtown area. March will conclude around 4:30.
That was Eli Sands and Jessica Reichert letting us know how we can show up for science this Saturday, April 14th at the West Capitol Lawn just outside the State Capitol Building in Albany. Visit CAP, CAPSCINY.org for details about the march.